Y'all, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
D-Mace, Fingan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Dunnick, Derek Mason, and Adam Fingan here with you, joined, as we are every Wednesday, by Jonathan Hutton of Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. Hutton, we've been talking college football playoffs, specifically a column by our very own Joe Rexroad in The Athletic. It's going to be a showdown between Indiana and Tennessee, it appears, for that final college football playoff spot. Where are you in this argument between Indiana and Tennessee?
I mean, if we're going to actually do what the committee is tasked with doing, they are not told in that room that they are supposed to select the most deserving team. They are supposed to select the best teams. Tennessee has a 5-point loss at Arkansas, a 14-point loss at Georgia. They have a 7-point win over Bama. And then the next best win is at Oklahoma. Look, Indiana can control everything with a win over Ohio State. But, I mean, it is drastically different with the schedules, even in an easier, quote-unquote, schedule in the SEC for someone like a team like A&M this year. It is way different comparing the two conferences right now. The SEC and the Big Ten, though, they're in lockstep with this. Greg Sankey and Tony Petitti put this whole thing together. So I'm expecting both conferences to get the same amount of teams.
So let's assume Indiana loses to Ohio State. Let's say it's a close loss. So they'll finish 11-1. If Tennessee wins out, they'll be 10-2, if I have that correct.
Yep.
So in your mind, even a 10-2 Tennessee team is more deserving or better than an 11-1 Indiana team that loses close at Ohio State.
But Hutt, add this. Tennessee would then be the fifth team, though, if they get in, right? The fifth from the SEC.
Well, potentially.
In theory.
Yeah. In this, yes. I say it's four because of this, Willie, and it's just the money involved in it. Right now, each conference, Big Ten and the SEC, guaranteed $21 million every year for this. Notre Dame took concessions. They're getting $13 million, and they can't get a bye. Notre Dame's a big factor in this, too. But the team by team, if you get a bye, you're guaranteed to bring in $8 million because you get $4 million per round, and it jumps up to six for the semifinals and the national championship game. Point being, to me, there's no question that the whole – it's not like the committee gets in that room and just, you know, doesn't know what they're tasked with doing. I never hear anyone say it was a horrible experience for them, but it was so unorganized that they never want to do this again and would never recommend it. It's the opposite, actually. And the way they slot teams and the way that they've had teams drop with a loss, to me, it's not if you lose, but how you lose. And I think in large part, they look at losses more than wins. But whenever they look at the potting system that they use, they have green squares next to the big games on the schedule. And then it fades out and it goes dark red at the bottom. And that's based on their own strength of schedule metric graded against the teams that they have in that room. I look at that, Willie, and I think, yeah, it's a two-loss Tennessee team. Who knows what happens in the SEC championship game? But how else would you grade an SEC team against Indiana right now, given the fact that the real line of demarcation is the Ohio State matchup and what they represent in terms of where they would be at the end of the year too?
Stephen Godfrey wrote a guest column in the Washington Post with the headline, Lane Kiffin undermined the SEC title game and the SEC should thank him, because earlier this week he mentioned that he and his rival coaches want to avoid playing in the SEC title game because a loss there could knock a program from CFP contention.
I don't think he's wrong.
So Kiffin have a point?
Sure he does. But we just heard an SEC coach who's never won an SEC title in the toughest conference in America admit that he doesn't want to play for the SEC championship. Think about what they've – so to me, there have been these rumblings, and I don't know if it's official, but these rumblings that they're not going to count a loss in the title games, in these championship games, against teams on championship Saturday. I don't know how they don't, because it's a part of your resume. It's recency bias. And unlike the college basketball tournament, there's nothing that prohibits them from weighing – recent wins and losses versus what you did at the first of the year.
Now, how illogical is that? Where if you win, it's an automatic bid and a buy, but if you lose, it doesn't really count at all.
Well, so
it makes no sense.
I totally agree with you. And I think what they're going to end up doing when they go to 16 is the teams that get in these championship games, both of them are automatically in. Automatic qualifiers. And I'm not saying that for the ACC or the Big 12. They're along for the ride here. But they're already floating out there that they want five guaranteed teams from the Big 10 and the SEC. Normally they get what they want. In this case, if Tennessee's in, if they lose, that's their third loss, right? Like it's detrimental to the resume and the point that you're trying to make when a day later they're going to be announcing the brackets. And I mean, again, you're better off not playing right now. And that is, that's something when it represented, I mean, the Southeastern Conference for a coach to go and win the SEC is a big deal. So, I mean, Kiffin, who's won a big game this year, is saying, it's about the national championship. And it is. But he wants to bypass the SEC championship for Ole Miss. And I don't blame him, but that's the system that they've created. I think the only way to set a precedent here, guys, is the two teams that get in to that title game are in.
Or you could just eliminate the championship game.
There's way too much money, man.
I know that. I know they will never do that. But if you want to get rid of that problem entirely – you just do away with the championship games, you know, and let the season play out.
They want these games they want the playoff to really begin right there. Mm-hmm. But the problem is they're saying the opposite. And I don't blame Kiffin or any coach that's not speaking out against it. By the way, this is no surprise. We knew this whenever everything was announced prior to the season. So, I think it's just now jarring that you hear it from an SEC coach saying this. And it's more likely that you lose in the SEC championship game given the competition as well.
Yeah, but do you think one way, beside the obvious, which they're never going to do, get rid of the championship game, but forcing the SEC to play 9 conference games, because the Big Ten plays 9 conference games. So forcing the SEC to play 9 conference games instead of 8.
Well, the only way they'll go to 9 is if you get the automatic qualifiers when they expand to 16. Hmm. That they're guaranteed to have that money.
So they want it both ways, the SEC.
Of course they do.
Yeah. They own Mace. Sankey and Tony Petitti, they are running college sports. Like they not only do they want it their way both ways, they put all of this together. Like there's chaos. They want it subjective, mm-hmm. because the Big Ten makes a different argument than the SEC. The Big Ten says we haven't lost down the stretch, mm-hmm. and we've been consistent in the polls. And the SEC says, yeah, but we've played this schedule. You know, like this is who we're mm-hmm. competing against, this schedule. It's two totally different arguments, and one of the resumes has a loss next to it.
That's why, Hutt, I think the most intriguing scenario is if there's a scenario where it's Indiana and Tennessee, and if you go with Tennessee, it's five SEC, three Big Ten. Because that is possible, right?
Well, the only
it's
thing-
possible if it comes down to that last one. And that's you're faced with not having an even split money-wise between the two guys that are that you said put the whole thing together.
They're at the table. I mean, they're at the head of the table, both of them.
Yeah, I mean, but so it, I still think one of the five gets left out, Willie. Just on that final bracket, they will make the bracket the way they want to.
But that would mean that Indiana's in because there's only four possible teams that get in from the Big Ten. So you need Indiana in if you're the Big Ten. You've got to find a way
Indiana might be able to get in, but I'm saying like Tennessee could still get in and have another team drop. Is Boise going to be the bye? Are they going to be the fourth highest ranked conference champ? Mm-hmm. You know, that's another factor in all of this. We know the one bid leagues, right? Mm-hmm. I do find it interesting though, and I don't know, again, Vegas is Vegas. They're building and tearing down and rebuilding casinos out there every year for a reason. The SEC over under for this tournament for this bracket was 4.5 teams. It dropped to 4 last night, and the extra half point went to the ACC. I found that interesting. Just for the wagering audience there. It didn't go to the Big Ten. It went to the ACC, where Clemson's still in the mix based on what they did.
Now, Hutt, I'm going to tell you who I believe the best team in the country is, regardless of the
Georgia
rankings. Yeah, I think Georgia is the best team
Ole Miss.
In the country. Is the best. I believe Georgia is the best team in the country from what I've seen of every top 10 team. You think Ole Miss?
I like Ole Miss because they're a top 25 offense and defense. We saw what they did to Georgia. But look.
But do you trust Lane Kiffin over Kirby Smart?
No. No, I'll take Kirby Smart. I would take Dabo Sweeney in the playoff too, by the way. I'll take the top coaches in the playoff that had their team ready to go. Because Georgia has an 18-point loss at Ole Miss. Mm-hmm. They have a 7-point loss against Bama. They have a 15-point win against Texas, 14-point win over Tennessee, 31-point win over Clemson. But then, you know, Ole Miss, the thing that sticks out with them is that Kentucky loss. But that 18-point victory over Georgia and then a 24-point win at South Carolina with the way the Gamecocks are playing at 7-3 South Carolina. That's a big deal too to the committee. I think Ole Miss has an argument to be made for where Georgia is. Texas is not that team. But they don't move. The committee doesn't budge off of the Longhorns.
Jonathan Hutton is with us. We'll be able to break this down again next week. I don't know if it's going to change a whole lot. So this is going to be a lot of drama. The stage is set here for who makes this bracket. And we're just wrapping our arms around a lot of the factors here that were hard to do that with when we started. It's the first time we've gone through it. But so let's talk Titans for a second here, Hutt.
Yep.
If you go, let's just work with me here. Let's just say that you don't use the first pick that you have on a quarterback.
Okay.
And you've got maybe two really good players. One is a potential right tackle, and the other is a dynamic edge rusher with let's just say a top 10 first round pick. Which way would you lean there? Just with your need. What's the bigger need? And based on how hard it is to find those guys?
I mean, in a typical answer, Willie, 9 times out of 10, I'm going to go with the edge guy. With this team, the one player that has held them back is right tackle.
But it's not like they need an edge rusher bad. Would you agree? Like that's the one thing
absolutely.
I'm looking at. Like, why can't they? They cannot get to the quarterback. This would be a really good defense, I think, if they had a dynamic edge rusher, but they don't have one.
Well, if they had an edge rusher, the final score is 9-6 every week.
Yeah.
You know, and because they can't move the football, and neither would the other team would be like the Titans are. So I would guess that's good and bad. But, I mean, I've never seen one player be this detrimental to an offense.
It's rough.
I mean, it's really bad. And I was talking about this with Steve Lehman from Channel 5. We crushed Ken Whisenhunt for putting Will Zvitek on an island against J.J. Watt.
Where is he at man. Now?
I do remember that day. That was
He probably owns half the strip in Vegas, for all I know.
That doesn't even sound like a real person.
I feel like Zach Mettenberger might still have therapy, though.
Locker. I was on the sideline in Houston. Jake Locker had his brains beaten in when Mettenberger had to come into that game. Oh. And it was Will Zvitek at left tackle on an island, and J.J. Watt was mic'd up for that game. Will Zvitek is the worst player in a Titans uniform I've ever seen.
Sounds like the creative player when you're playing a sports video game and they just need someone to fill the roster. Yeah, that doesn't sound like a real person.
Zvitek would whip my ass. Don't get me wrong here. Okay? But he's the worst Titans player I've ever seen in a uniform. With that being said, they just rotated – a practice squad player they've had for a month with Nicholas Petit-Frere on purpose.
Don't put him back out there.
In week 11.
Don't put Nicholas back out
there.
You have to have a live body out there.
No.
Well,
do not try
Will Zvitek is available. Is that the next guy that we go to?
Hey, put somebody else out there.
Will Zvitek is like he's like the mountain from Game of Thrones with no athleticism.
You have to put somebody out there. That's the problem.
Quick question here. Along the lines with what Willie was saying, and we did discuss this, say if the Titans do, because my thing is, if indeed Will Levis continues to trend upward like he is, and listen, after two games, I'm not anointing him the starter.
We're talking small steps
forward.
Here, mate.
Yes. If he can just continue to make incremental steps moving forward as the season ends, and the Titans decide that, okay, he looks good enough. Now we're going to start to build around him. You have the number one pick. Would it be better for the Titans? And I said this. Would it be better for the Titans to trade out of that number one pick, move down to maybe 5-6 somewhere in there in that range? And if you still, because now you will essentially probably get two first round picks. If you can't get the quarterback you want, say with that second pick, then you go get a guy like Mac Jones and you allow Mac Jones to compete with Will Levis. Because hear me out. Okay. I truly believe that he needs someone to push him. You need to bring in a bona fide reliever that if it doesn't work out, you still can win football games. I said Mac Jones because I looked at Mac Jones' first year with Belichick. He had an offensive coordinator and he was trending up. The next year, they took away his offensive coordinator, made a defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator, and everything started to go downhill. Really right? Yeah, so he never had an opportunity after his first year to really progress as a quarterback or grow as a quarterback. So if you put him in a system where now he has a offensive coordinator, now he can truly compete and hopefully, which I believe you will, get more of the Mac Jones that you saw in the first year as opposed to Mac Jones that we've seen the last 2 years. And that will push Will Levis to be a better quarterback, at least to me. That's what I'm thinking. Because then you can hold off another year with getting your franchise quarterback.
Too late to do that. Hmm. Should have done it this year.
Yeah, you're right.
Should have done that this year. They jumped out and got Mason Rudolph. And, I mean, if they do that, if they were to pass on the quarterback with a quarterback coach that they hired deliberately for this reason, you might as well go rehire Mike Vrabel. That's the type of offense they're going to be running. But that's what offense they have right now. This offense was averaging 2.8 yards per play before the 98-yard pass Sunday. So, like, I credit Levis for making a bad situation and finding a solution. He had a great third quarter, but – I mean, he was 6 of 6 in that third quarter. Mm-hmm. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine is kind of overlooked here because he's another great storyline to it. But the facts are still the facts when it comes to where he is as an NFL quarterback. He needs more than just Mac Jones to push him. I know you would agree with that. I mean, in the first half, in the fourth quarter, if you take away the third, he's 11 of 25 for 134 yards. He's completing 44% of his passes. It's very similar to his Atlanta game in his first start. And up until Sunday, that the Atlanta game was the outlier. He did some really nice things to where you like raise an eyebrow and go, that's the NFL arm that we've been wanting to see. I liked what he showed us when they were down 16. But, I mean, and other things factor into this. The refs played a factor. So does the right tackle conundrum that he did not create. But Sunday featured good play, but also those below average moments, not just for Levis, but this entire Brian Callahan offense. So, again, if Callahan's going to stand a chance and not go out with a whimper, I mean, let's face it here. He's going to have to get his quarterback. And first 35 plays with an offensive coordinator who is a head coach because of what, you know, he's been known to do with his quarterback development. First 35 plays gained under 100 yards. But yet it's the explosive plays that we saw in the third that stand out. And that's good because we haven't seen it. But, I mean, yeah, if we're going to get behind Levis, we've got to see more from Callahan developing this guy. And it's one or the other. And I look at Levis with the sacks he's taking and everything else and say it can be much better than that. And I would rather have one of the rookies than Mac Jones.
Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow joining us on the program as he does every Wednesday. Hutton, great stuff as always. We'll chat next week.
Hey, Mace.
Yes.
How would you like it catching passes from Mac Jones?
Right now?
Well, I mean,
yeah.
In your prime. You want him or Shador? You want him or Shador throwing you the ball?
Listen, I'm taking Shador, but I don't think is Shador a top five pick? That's the question.
I mean, there's the draft and then there's the quarterback draft.
Yeah, you're right.
Hey, yeah. I don't hate the two first round pick thing though. Mm-hmm. I don't hate that idea. I just you gotta have more evidence of what they have. And to me it would be like a Sam Darnold type more than a Mac Jones. But I haven't even thought about Mac Jones until you bring that up. Okay. I forgot he was in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
It's fair to say a lot of people have forgotten about
He got to play
Mac
a lot
Jones.
Of the game last week, and it didn't look so good.
Hutton, what was the name
Willie,
of the player that you referenced at the beginning of the segment?
Either.
Will was it
Will Vitae.
I can't Vitae. Even find him on Google. How do you
it
spell that?
S-V-I-T-E-K.
The V-Tech.
I was looking for V, not S-V.
No, the V-Tech.
I was like, this guy literally does not exist.
If he played for the Seattle Kraken, you would know how to spell that last name.
That's right.
Exactly.
That is probably true. Hutton, you wanted
Willie,
to chime
are you not in Seattle?
I'm not because it's TNT tonight.
Hmm. Oh, the worst broadcast. I got
yeah,
it.
See? Yeah.
No, it's good. Tonight.
No, it's not
I'm a,
good,
I'm a fan
Willie.
Of the TNT.
I'm not.
They do an excellent
I'm
job,
not.
I think.
I'm biased, so that's just me.
Okay. All right. Well, according to Wikipedia,
that's the
Will's
only broadcast you get to hear, Willie.
Yes. According to Wikipedia, Will Svitek participated in the NFL Business Management and Entrepreneurial Program at Harvard Business School.
He will own a hotel on the Strip.
So
like
you might
you said,
not have
huh?
been wrong about where he
He went to the class of J.J. Watt that day, man.
Yeah, you go, man.
He was mic'd up.
That's how you get life
up.
Lessons. Life lessons learned right there.
I mean, Watt lined up the first snap and started laughing and said, "This is going to be an incredible day, gentlemen." That's what he said in the huddle for the defense.
It was absolute devastation.
I'm going to look up these quote unquote highlights during the break if we can find them.
Check
it out.
Enjoy. Check it out. JJ Watt's a Hall of Famer because of Will Svitek.
Hutton, great stuff. We'll talk next week.
All right, guys. See you.
615-737-1025. While he was talking, I was looking up last names with V. I was like, this guy does not exist. I didn't hear the S before the V.
It's not Vitek Vanacek.
No.
It's Svitek.
I didn't hear the SV. I just heard
it's the
V.
SV. Yeah.
Got it. 615-737-1025. Speaking of if this player was a hockey player, I would know how to spell his name. Chris Mason, Willie's partner on FanDuel Sports Network broadcast, will join us for his weekly discussion on the Nashville Predators. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063. The game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025-1063. The game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, and Adam Vingan here with you, joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by Predators television analyst Chris Mason. Chris, the Predators wrap up their road trip tonight against the Seattle Kraken, and it certainly feels like a critical game considering where this season has been thus far. But as you've watched the Predators through the first four games of their road trip, which areas have you seen the most improvement or cause for encouragement?
I would say this trip, one thing aside maybe from the Edmonton game, I think defensively, I feel like every night they go out, I kind of trust them a little more. I think earlier in the season, you know, I think everyone that's followed the team, you know, from last season carried over to the beginning of the season is like, I don't know what we're going to get from these guys. You know, it just looked discombobulated and out of sorts. And there was no real part of their game where I felt like I could go into a game thinking, well, at least we have this, you know, until, you know, Juice started playing well, then you're like, okay, you know, at least Saros is going to give him a chance. But in terms of their overall game, there was nothing that really gave me that confidence. But now I think this trip, I think they're starting to get it defensively. I think, so every game that we go in now, I feel that, okay, the guys, at least they're going to play solid defensively. They've kind of figured that part out. It's looking consistent. The offensive side of things is the one that, seems to be last to come around. So I think defensively that's given me hope, because I feel if you can get that down and you get good goaltending, you have a chance to win every game. Obviously last game, the goals came, and that's the part that they need to keep, you know, keep moving forward here and try to find some consistency in that part. It seems like there's going to be a correction somewhere along the way, or at least that's what I, you know, the numbers are telling me, but that's kind of been inconsistent this year. Every time I think that they go and score, you know, five goals in four games or four games and four goals in three games, something like that. So hopefully they can carry that over into Seattle.
One player who has been conspicuous by his absence on the score sheet is Jonathan Marchessault. He has 0 points at 5-on-5 so far this season. When he was on the ice for Roman Josi's goal against the Canucks the other night, it was the first time this season that Marchessault has been on the ice for a Predators goal at 5-on-5. I know he's a good player. You don't bad players don't win Conn Smythe trophies as playoff MVP. So I know he is a good player, but I've been disappointed by what I have seen from him so far this season. What has been missing from his game that has made him a non-factor at 5-on-5?
Well, that's the one that's really, I've had a tough time, because, you know, I remember seeing him in Vegas and just seeing this guy, he's everywhere. You know, he's getting to places quicker. He's attacking the net. He's got such a great shot, great release. And I don't know, you know, everyone takes different amounts of time to get settled in, but I feel it's almost past the point where, you know, it's maybe a little bit in his head right now, but I feel like he's almost like, he played better last game, was probably one of his better games against Vancouver along with many other guys. But I just feel he's not getting to the interior, and for whatever reason, he'll pull up and pass pucks away, and he just doesn't look comfortable out there. And I don't know what the reason is, but it's obviously taken a lot longer than everybody would expect. And I mean, you got a guy's, as you mentioned, Conn Smythe winner, 42 goals last year. He's got a great shot, and he's not really getting a lot of pucks to the net. I think, you know, aside from last game where he started getting a little more, you know, action toward the net, I think, which was promising. And, you know, you kind of look like the player is making plays and getting things done, a little, that nice pass over to, you know, he's made some nice cross ice passes and starting to get his game hopefully going. But I really honestly couldn't tell you. And I think that's something that's more of a personal question to him, why it's not getting, but it just, for whatever reason, it's just not translating to success or the shots on goal. He's a high volume shooter. He's not getting that. And I feel he's just not getting to the inside as much as he should be.
Now, see, Mace, they've been able to get some points the last couple of games. Now, they haven't been wins, one of them, but they were able to come out of it with the point. Now, moving forward with this team, 5 of the next 8 games are at home. How critical is it going to be for them to at least get a point, seeming they're playing the majority of their games in the next 8 games at home?
They got to, you know, honestly, and I heard you guys talking earlier about the Thanksgiving cutoff, mm-hmm. and this team has got to, they have to have a playoff approach. Like, it's got to be some desperation. It's it's not going to be easy no matter what the situation is. And it's got to, they got to, you know, their big guys got to lead them. It was nice to see Stamkos. We just talked about Marchessault. Yossi's got to get on the board more. Even that, the top line that carried them last year offensively has been, you know, the offense hasn't been there for them either. Those are the guys that, that have to, if they're going to win, if they're going to get back in this thing, those guys are the ones that have to score. You know, I mean, in the first three games of the road trip, I think they scored, or four games of the road trip, they scored three goals or something like that. It was four goals, sorry. Cole Smith, Michael McCarron, Colton Sissons, Luke Evangelista, and they managed to get 2 points out of the first three games. They got shut out in Calgary. That's not the recipe for success. You know, they go into Vancouver, Stamkos gets a couple, you know, Roman. Those are the guys that have to score. They're playing the majority of the game. They're put out there in the power play. Those situations when you need a goal, Philip Forsberg, we know all the guys. Those guys got to get going. And if they're going to do anything with this home heavy part of this schedule, it's those guys that are going to have to lead the way. So, promising game in Vancouver. We've seen the team have a promising game here and there, but can they follow it up with another effort like that? They got to score goals. At the end of the day, that has been probably the most disappointing thing with this team, that you thought was going to be, that one of their strengths would be offense, and that's probably been one of their biggest weaknesses. So those guys got to crank it up and keep putting the puck in the net.
We're talking to Chris Mason, Predators and the Kraken tonight to round out the five-game road trip, and then they've got the Winnipeg Jets, who were impressive last night, coming in on Saturday for their next game. So, Mace, you told a story, and it was late at night. It was in Vancouver. I thought it was an interesting little tidbit for goalie people, right? UC Saros has played very well, and he made a little adjustment in his goalie stick. Explain that, because I think that's a pretty cool thing if you're looking for little details there.
Yeah, well, I remember when I actually skated with the team, I was in there and looking at his gear, and I was looking at his stick, and I was like, oh, that's a heck of a curve there on the stick that he was using. And it was one that was the pattern of Sergei Bobrovsky, and it had a little bit of more of a toe curve. So in theory, you're going to be able to shoot the puck and get it up and shoot it a little harder with less effort. And he said, I love this stick. He said, I've been using it. He said, the only problem is the paddles, a little bit too short. And so I'm just going to wait. I'm going to use my old ones and then order the ones with the shorter my paddle lengths. And it had been taking a while to get the stick. So it was almost on the game against Boston. That's kind of when, Juice kind of started going on a tear.
Right. Since then, he's been really good.
Yeah. He's kind of said, screw it. I like this stick. I'm going to use it anyway. So he used it. And ever since, he's been using that stick. And what that does is it'll bring you a little lower in your stance when you're standing upright. But when you're down on the ice, you can lead and you have more control. You can have better coverage. If you have a shorter paddle, it can be a little closer to your body and you can have more control in those situations. So it's a completely different feel, even if we're talking 1 or 2 inches difference in paddle length. And for, he started using it, started playing well. So he stuck with it. So it's kind of an interesting little marker there for the stick change.
No doubt about it. One more I want to ask you, Mace, before we let you go, is the word swagger, right? I was watching the game back on Sunday night. Zach LaRue scores a goal, his first NHL goal. That kid's got swagger, right? And he's given a little boost to the fourth line that was a huge, huge black hole before he came up. They're not lighting the world on fire, but they're much, much better with him in there. And I think his career is on a good track. I heard Barry Trotz talking about this yesterday. He's played pretty well. It takes time. Hopefully he's going to get there. I would like to see the swagger go through the lineup a little bit more. You mentioned the top guys. I'll zero in a couple guys to ask you about. Tommy Novak and Luke Evangelista. Those are guys. Novak, of course, is not a demonstrative player. We know Evangelista's got a personality to him. They're very close. I would like to see the swagger with those two guys a little bit more. That's another untapped portion of the lineup that if they could get going, what that could mean to the team. I know there's better in them. I feel like they got to get the swagger back.
Well, 100%. And Swagger's confidence. What is it? Success breeds confidence. Confidence breeds success. But how do you get them when you don't have them right now, right? So I think those guys definitely. When you look at the team, I mean, Tommy Novak signed a really good contract, and for the reason why he got paid the way he did is because his production was near, point per game. You know, not quite that level, but pretty close. And some would argue that if he went to the free agency or went to the open market, he might have got more than he got paid here. But right now, when you look at this team, you're depending on, all right, Luke Evangelista had a good year. He's got that swagger, as you said. He was really good in the second half. Now let's see him take a step forward. Let's see him take the next level. Let's see him earn an opportunity to play on maybe the second line. Tommy Novak, to me, going into this season, and still even now, when you wanted to try to get Marchessault and Stamkos together, Tommy Novak has the skill set. He's got to be the centerman on that line. It's too much to ask of Colton Sissons to play those types of minutes and those types of situations. He's not, they're putting guys on that line that are not able to hold on to the puck and make plays and, get coverage, which Novak is able to do. He's got that heads up playmaking, can slow the game down. He's got a speed boost to his game if he needs it. And he can get those. He can distribute the pucks in theory with his skill set. And you just haven't seen it this year. Obviously he's coming back. He's only played, a game here. Did he play Calgary or just Vancouver? It's just Vancouver, I think. So, he's played one game, looked like he's still coming back a little bit slow or whatever, but he's definitely a guy. We need that source of offense. And we talked about the big guys obviously scoring, but he could be a big guy for this team. If in an 82 game schedule, you get him, if he plays 82 games, 60 point range, he's got to be in that neighborhood. And right now it's he's not making the plays. He can be the half wall guy on the second unit of the power play. And those guys definitely need to elevate their game and continue to develop. So we'll see if he can move forward here, just coming back off that injury, but definitely need him to play at a higher level for sure. Both those guys.
Chris Mason, Predators television analyst, joining us as he does every Wednesday. Chris, always a pleasure. Enjoy the game tonight.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Chris Mason joining us. Predators at Kraken. Puck drop at 9, pregame at 8, right here on 102.5, 106.3, the game, broadcast nationally on TNT. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we have some Titans updates for you. And Derek, I hope you took your blood pressure medication, my friend. I don't even know if you take blood pressure medication, but I hope you have some.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
We'll get to that right next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5, 106.3, the game. No sleep till! D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, and Adam Vingan here with you. Mitch Light, college football editor from The Athletic, will join us in the next segment.
And he is a fan of the Brooklyn Nets, by the way.
They're not doing too hot, are they?
I don't think so, but he's diehard.
Well,
going back to their days in New Jersey.
I imagine it's from his New Jersey roots. But, Derek, I told you that I hope that you had your blood pressure medication available. If you don't have blood pressure medication,
please don't say
it. Go find somebody at the station who does have blood pressure medication.
I tried to tell you.
According to Teron Davenport, it'll be another week with Nicholas Petit-Frere at right tackle.
Can I just ask something, D-Mace, before you just go crazy? Who do you propose they put out there? If it's not him, they don't have anybody.
Thank you for your happy place.
I know y'all expecting me to go crazy.
If you're driving by the station right now on Murfreesboro Pike and you have blood pressure medication, pull off.
Just drop by.
If you see smoke coming out of the building, it's not because we have a fire. It's just D-Mace is very
angry. See the Cromwell Media sign. Pull over and lend some to Derek. But Derek,
I know y'all expecting me to go crazy. I'm going to throw some things around.
Some quiet range.
But
some
all I'm
going to
say is, who's coming with me? That's who's going to be on my side on this, huh? Listen, this is just, I know part of it is, well, what else are we going to do, Derek?
That's right. That's my question to you.
Who else are we going to put out there? Who would you advise we put out there? I'm going to tell you who not to put out there. And that's Nicholas Petit Frere, a.k.a.
PT.
PT.
We don't do that on this program.
But
that
you is, had to do it for
is,
this sake. No,
that is banned
for this
from this
sake,
program. Banned.
You have to do it. This guy, listen, he may have been a good football player at one point, but right now he's not. And that one essential thing that I think all offensive linemen must have in order to play that position, because listen, if you're getting slapped across the head every play, you better have this one thing in you or you ain't going to be playing it long. Dog. He doesn't have it in him.
And that's spelled D-A-W-G.
Yes, not a dog. I wish he did have a dog he could take with him.
It's
and maybe
dog.
The dog,
dog.
Can scare the defensive end away.
That is a quote from Barry Trotz. If you're scared,
get a dog.
Get a dog, exactly. So I wish he did have a dog, D-O-G,
it'd be
next
a chihuahua.
To him. You know, to scare away the defensive ends.
Don't
but
hit
he
on
doesn't.
Chihuahuas.
If he had a chihuahua, it'd be even better. This kid doesn't have dog in him. He doesn't. He's a big guy with some athletic skill. But just because you're big with athletic skill doesn't mean you can play the position the way it needs to be played. You see a bunch of big athletic guys playing in the NBA, but not too many of them can play the center position the way it needs to be played. Rough and tug it. Why? Because they don't have that thing in them that's going to force them to sit in a box and sort of go at it with another defender each and every play. So what do they typically do? They go on the outside where it's a little bit easier so they can shoot that three-pointer. They do not have a dog on the right side of the line. They don't. And I would not put him back out there because what he's going to do, and I want to see what their excuse is going to be. He's going to get somebody hurt. He's going to get Will Levis hurt. And if I'm Will Levis, I'm raising my hand like, whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You expect me to go out there and be a better quarterback when this is what you're giving me? Him? Where his defender is going to be on my back every play damn near? And even when he's not on my back, I still feel him because I'm shell-shocked. So y'all going to trot him right back out there? Why not trot Leroy Watson back out there? Why not trot the guy y'all tried
Watson
last week?
Injured.
Yeah, Watson's injured. That's a saving grace for PT. That's the same that Watson's injured. Even the guy from last week, you took him out. Why? Because he had two.
He couldn't line up.
Well, Derek. Well, you teach him how to line up.
Derek, you would say you have PTSD?
Ha! Yes, I do.
That is a good
absolutely.
One. That is a good one.
Absolutely.
I will give you credit for that.
I will put the other guy by. I would teach him how to line up and then put him back out there. At least he may be able to give you something blocking-wise, but Nicholas isn't giving. And what makes you think it's going to change? That's what I keep on thinking. What makes you think you're going to walk into that office one day and it's going to just poof? He's going to change, and he's going to be a bona fide. Matter of fact, not even a bona fide right tackle. He's going to be a serviceable right tackle. It's not going to happen here with the Tennessee Titans. It may happen somewhere else. With somebody else's team, but at this point, he has shown way too much of who he is. And who he isn't a good player. I'm not one of these guys, you know, I love Chris to death. I do. But a lot of times he don't want to say anything bad about a player. He always caveated with no disrespect. No, this is disrespect. You bad, man. You ain't good. Not at least not for this team. Let me say that. At least not for this team. You have not proven in the 1 million times they've given you an opportunity to play this position, you have not proven that you can play this position, but they keep trotting you out there and they're asking the fans to come watch that stuff? Seriously? And you ask me, well, who else they going to put out there? Not him.
Will Svitek.
Put Will's V. Go find Will's VTech.
He's 42.
He probably can block better than PT.
Will, if you're listening.
Again, PT may be the nicest guy in the world, and I'm not doubting that. But right now, he can't play the right tackle position the way you need to play it in the NFL, which tells me he doesn't need to be a starter in this league, nor does he need to be a backup at this point.
Well, he's starting on Sunday for the Tennessee Titans against the Houston Texans.
Well, I predict three sacks.
All right, save that for Take It to the Bank on Friday, 615-737-1025. Mitch Light from The Athletic will join us talking college football. Coming up next, Willie Dunnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, The Game.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch the Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.